The Internet. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans. Its ongoing mission, to explore horror, science fiction, and nerd shit in general. To cultivate strange new worlds and seek out motherfuckers that'll listen. To boldly go where no podcast has gone before. That's right, ladies and gentlemen! We are back, me and the two punctual Negroes. We are back. Welcome once again to the Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans Emporium. Located in picturesque Crown Heights, Brooklyn.
It's picturesque now.
I've been saying that, but shut up. Anyway.
Got
me all out of character.
Got one crunch. And one Dwayne Reed right next to White Castle. That's picturesque.
Oh, no.
Selling souvenirs and shit.
That's right. Selling these nuts. Anyway, so as always, I am Stephen Van Patten, joined by
Mark Abbott
and
Kirk Johnson.
Yes, 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 yes. Here we are. Another episode. Episode 27. As a matter of fact. We did it. Yay. They said we couldn't, but we did. Because fuck them. Anyway.
Who said that?
So first of all, I guess the first thing we should get into real quick is Prodigy of Mobb Deep.
Yeah, yeah.
Has left us.
At 42.
What the hell?
At 42.
Yeah, that's way young to check out.
Yeah. His real name being Albert Johnson.
I did not know that.
I was about to say
I did not either, and it's freaky as fuck. Cause my
but
dad
explains did. Why he called himself Prodigy, because
yeah.
I don't
my,
think
my
too many people...
Albert Johnson for the album.
Really?
Yeah, my dad, Albert Johnson, he passed away like 2014, actually.
Oh.
Not right. At 42, of course, but...
Right,
I would guess not.
I would hope not.
That would make you six. Right. So,
You were sure that. That's actually what it is.
We don't need to know that.
But yeah, yeah. But, Sickle Cell.
Sickle Cell. Yeah. That's a shocker.
That is.
I mean.
Wow. Quiet, yeah. In case you guys don't mind, some might not know Prodigy, who, did Quiet Storm, Mobb Deep's Quiet Storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Lil' Kim, she had a remix with Lil' Kim, and, Shook One. And Hey Love. Yeah, Mobb Deep did Hey Love.
Yeah, very prolific artist.
That was, yeah, Hey Love.
Yeah, ran into him once in my Total Request Live days. He seemed like a fairly nice cat.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of bugging on the Sickle Cell thing. I mean, I know it runs in our community, but it's not really something that you've heard about lately. Like, Richard Pryor used to make jokes about it back in the day.
Yeah.
But I want to say, you know, not so much.
Not a lot. Yeah, like it's not like a real problem anymore because, you know, cops is worse.
Right. Yes. Yeah. We'll get to that.
Yeah. So, you know, sickle cell, police, prostate.
Salt.
Salt. Yeah. Wow. This is well, on the cheerful note, though, Prodigy
cheerful
did
note.
Not leave us with just music.
Mm.
He was also an author, ladies and gentlemen. Prodigy had wrote a book.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey.
And tell us about the book.
I will tell you about this book. And it's not just any old. It's not street lit. This is for real too. It is wrote it based on his time in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Not in prison. The book Commissary Kitchen, My Infamous Prison Cookbook. That is, yes.
Okay.
I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to diminish the, hey, not everybody can write a cookbook.
No, I only have a chapter in a cookbook.
Right.
See, I can't knock the hustle.
So, yeah, so, you know, Commissary Kitchen.
So what sort of flavorful, delightful dishes might we find?
I'm glad you asked.
In the commissary kitchen cookbook.
Glad you asked. Well, we have these one particular delicious recipe here. Peas, clean hands, sweet potato pie. Because you can't make sweet potato pie with dirty hands. You go clean hands.
Mm.
You know, prison. Mm.
Yes, okay.
Jail. Oh, and some other, you know, the triple P, which is peas, prison, pot stickers.
I can't do this.
Sure you can, Mark.
You know, and then there's the prison sangria.
No.
Prison sangria?
Yeah, which has...
Yummy, yummy!
Bread and ketchup is one of the ingredients. What? Yeah, now, ingredients. Apples, oranges, mixed fruit cups, bread, ketchup, and sugar.
Uh-huh. Ketchup. That's from, is it fermented ketchup? Like, how does that work?
I don't know, man. Oh, no, this is really feeling like I'm watching a mummy. I don't know how to hold together with this. I'm having a hard time. I'm really sorry, guys.
Wait a minute. Please don't try this at home, prison surprise. See, no. I can't.
Prison surprise. Yes, peas. Don't try this at home, prison surprise, which ingredients are romaine noodles, Doritos, or you can substitute Cheez-Its, or sliced cheese, if you like, Jack Mac, because, you know, tuna works fine, too.
Wow.
And hot sauce.
Wow, and I thought I could cook.
Hey, if you can make it work, and you're in prison, you know, well, if you're not in prison and you just need to make it work.
No.
I have to imagine what the sequel would look like.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
It's the sequel of?
You know, like a watermelon salad, but instead of feta cheese, maybe, I don't know, substitute,
He said feta cheese.
Ritz.
Right.
Ritz crackers, yeah.
You getting feta cheese.
Cheese doodles.
Cheese doodles. With
I'm saying I'd have to substitute.
You'd have to substitute. Well, you're in prison. You can't really get feta cheese in prison.
No.
Unless you're Greek.
Right. Right.
I'm just saying. In Greek prison, you probably get feta cheese all you want.
Yeah.
You just can't get exactly. Cheez-Its.
You just can't get watermelon.
What? Hey, yeah, that's...
There you go.
Right.
That's the problem.
And fuck the sangria now. Yeah, you just, you know...
Mm-mm.
You know, I don't know if they have bread and grease anymore.
They probably just get port.
Port, yeah.
Yeah, just the port.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we have officially broken Mark Abbott.
My name is Wile E. Coyote, super genius. I'm not selling anything, nor am I paying my way through college. This is ridiculous.
We're having a little fun, but yes.
Some of the mates like to make dumplings bad. Oh, God damn you.
All right.
Love you to death, man.
Let's toast it up to the brother.
Yes.
Toast to the brother. Toast it to him. Commissary Kitchen. Hope it does well. Hope it does even better.
It might.
Right, yeah. You know, brothers, you know, prison need to.
They do. They absolutely do.
Well, you know, I do have to remark on this. It seems a lot of our hip hop artists are passing away,
mm-hmm.
and not at an older age.
No.
Nope.
And that's a little disturbing.
It is. Who else passed away?
Had, I believe, the Educated Rapper,
mm-hmm.
From UTFO.
Yeah.
Last year we had Fife.
Fife.
Yeah.
Passed away.
Yeah.
Diabetes.
Yes.
Diabetes.
Yeah. One of the number one. Killers
in the country.
Yeah,
you say one of the number one killers.
Like medically, yeah, the diabetes.
One of the highest, yeah, no, it is.
You're right. Know, next to heart disease and hypertension.
That's.
But it just seems like they. It's crazy when you think about the rock and roll people who did every drug under the sun.
Pete
and
Bridges.
It's now like 70 and 80
yeah,
years old.
Yeah.
And the hip hop artists who what maybe. Did a couple of things of weed,
mm-hmm.
and a commissary kitchen cookbook, and now, you know, don't even make it to 50. That's crazy.
That's something. Yeah.
That's really crazy.
Well, to that, I mean, there's a number of studies out recently about just the stress of being a black man in America and how that's wearing a lot of us down. I want to say. that there's also a lot of talk about how, to be honest, we aren't taking as good care of ourselves. And also, you know, there's something to be said for the fact that the food that prior generations had at their disposal is a little different.
Yeah.
you know, GMOs. Mass production, exactly, mass GMOs. Production, the whole issue with GMOs and gluten,
right.
And Lord knows what else.
And other than that, these healthy foods are actually very expensive.
And,
like,
yes.
That free-range chicken and Purdue, you know, when your check ain't that big, mm-hmm. it's going for Purdue.
Exactly. And the other thing is, like, a strapped family,
yeah.
you know, if you're picking between free-range eggs that run at about $5 a dozen
mm.
and the regular, you know,
the grade A eggs,
in the styrofoam carton,
right.
that if that motherfucker's a dollar,
mm-hmm.
you know, then that's, you know, that's saying something. I mean, you know, and I don't want to turn this into a whole, you know, conspiracy thing, oh, they all trying to kill us and whatever, but, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, when you've got Whole Foods and Trader Joe's and all those
mm-hmm.
places where you can literally spend $60 and come out with two bags of
yeah.
food.
Which will last you, what, 3 days?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely something to, like, because my mom loves Trader Joe's, but the thing about my mom's, just as an example, she's a vegetarian.
Okay.
She's, like, straight up.
Really?
Like, she'll get a little tuna, a little salmon here
right.
and there, but even that, you know, she's just like, because, you know, she doesn't know what's, you know, because now it's like one of those things where it's like, when you know better, you do better.
Right.
So it's like she's very aware of, you know, is this free range? Is this cage?
Mm.
You know, so she's aware of all that stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas back in the day, she ate just like everybody else.
Right.
She was very much into portion control, but...
But she probably didn't have to worry too much about it either, because back in the day...
We didn't have the steroids and all the other shit.
No, you're exactly...
So, you know, it's so funny because between that and the fact that, you know, my mother grew up in Alabama where... My grandmother grew
the produce
on the land.
Right, yeah, right.
You know, and you know there wasn't a pesticides and all that other shit.
Exactly. No,
you know,
right.
My mom's is probably going to outlive me. I don't want her to hear that. But, it's something to think about. It's like, you know, and here we are in New York with this air and, you know, and the fast food and everything else like that. It's
and the stress.
And the stress. And the stress, you know, and just on the simple fact that, you know, we're men and we're built in a way that, you know, we're not going to worry about that little ache, you know. We're not going to worry about that little twinge of pain. We're going to keep pushing.
Right. We can't. We got to go to work.
We got to go to work. Exactly.
I still got to pay a mortgage, you know.
Exactly.
You know, plus that part of that masculinity macho thing.
Exactly.
And, oh, my, you know, a little pain there. It'll go away. I got to get to work.
Right.
Right? That's...
And, you know, dudes are reluctant to get their prostate checked.
You know.
I mean, and granted, you know, when you are getting your prostate check, you are kind of thinking, well, shit, take me out to dinner first and leave.
Right. Or
but...
You feel like you can't tip the person. You might want to, you know, maybe a kiss on the cheek or something.
Right. Should I at least get a rose?
Right, yeah.
You know, or something?
Can I get your name? You got to
you know.
Do I come back again?
Call me. No, but seriously.
Whole body cavity, sir. And don't stop till you reach the back of his teeth.
That's okay, sir. I only have $5.
Yeah, exactly. Is it my birthday already? What the fuck?
Do I have to pay for this?
No, but seriously, you know, a cat checking out at 42, anybody checking out at 42,
is
reason for pause.
Yes, absolutely.
It is reason for fucking
absolutely
pause.
Fucking
and, movie. You know, I, you know, with, along with condolences out to the family and everything
right
else like
please
that, you know, this is a reminder. Get those checkups.
Yeah.
Drink that water.
Drink that water.
Stop smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, okay.
I should know.
You should.
I should know.
You should.
Actually, I tell you, I went to the doctor not too long ago and got, like, perfect health.
No kidding.
But that's great.
Well, that is great.
That's great.
Thank God.
And she didn't have to stick nothing in my butt.
You see, now we didn't need to know all of that information.
I'm just saying. I'm just, you know.
But actually, maybe she should have.
I didn't have enough money at that time.
Jesus Christ. All right. All right, well, Kirk's prostate aside.
Mark, you okay, Mark?
Straight from the day.
Straight from the day.
Sorry.
Yes. Rest in peace, Prodigy.
Rest in peace, Albert Johnson, Prodigy from Mobb Deep.
Yes. Albert.
Hey, Albert.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing you went with Prodigy.
Damn, dude.
Just saying.
It's my dad's name.
I know, and your dad, I'm sure, was a lovely, lovely man.
Yeah, he was.
Yes.
Yo, but let me see. Albert's Commissary Kitchen. Yeah, you're right.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
It doesn't roll off. No, you're right.
It doesn't. That's all I'm saying.
No, you're absolutely right.
That and, you know.
Like Bert's Best Wines.
No, exactly.
Got
to think about branding.
Yes, it's all about branding.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
You
all right,
Mark?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Mark's great. What are you talking about? Anyway, so one of the hottest things that's been on cable and all but made me forget about Fear of the Walking Dead completely, American Gods. Yeah. Holy shit.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh. Holy shit.
Fuckery.
What the hell?
The entire fuck. Yeah.
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 Season
finale.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what that was. We're apparently going to have to wait some time to see how that shit wraps up. Mark.
Yes.
Now that we're off the fuckery of Commissary Kitchen and all that, what were your thoughts on American Gods?
Great start
mm-hmm.
to what I hope to be a very long series.
Okay.
I love the fact that we got a chance to get introduced to each of these gods in their own particular way, in their own unique stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is one of those things where had it been a movie, had it been about maybe a 2 or 3 part movie, it would not have been able to do justice to Gaiman's work.
I don't think
so. No pun intended.
I've been floored every week.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have to help me with some of the titles, but not the finale, the one prior to it.
Oh, Prayer for Matt Sweeney.
Yes, that Prayer was probably. Sweeney. You know what? Here's the thing. Every so often we get shows like this that have that one episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking Penny Dreadful had one just like it. Mm. When they went into the backstory of the witch.
And
it was just one of those episodes that is so beautifully done story-wise
mm-hmm.
That you walk away from it and you go, wow, that you will never have to go back and remind me of anything else again because that's always going to stick with me.
Sure.
And that, and that Matt Sweeney piece was just...
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
It was nicely done.
It was almost like his heart. Like he shined a different light on this mad...
And you realize why he's the way he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll never have to... You'll never have to drag that question out over the series.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They addressed it, and it's...
But I love the finale, because the finale gave us something... It took us in a place... that most shows wouldn't have dared to take you. And I love the fact that Jesus shares Easter with the goddess. That was just absolutely and not just a Jesus, many Jesus.
Yes.
Yes.
That was like an alien world. We're being attacked by the Jesai. Yes.
And I just have to I'll just finish with, I got to get what's his name to make me a suit.
Nancy.
I need to get him to make me a suit.
You got to sit through a story.
I can sit through a story.
That suit was awesome.
But that suit was tight.
Man.
That suit that he made.
Both suits were actually very nice. Both suits were actually very nice.
I mean, I know the costume department was behind all of that, but still, fantasy wise.
Yeah, they might actually get an Emmy.
Yeah.
Out of that. I tell you what, between those suits, I want to say the TV gods,
the different outfits, and the special effects were just the world.
Yes.
Yeah. When he just kind of,
Like I'd say, you know, definitely, even a little twerp internet god character. Like I want to say his outfits have been very interesting as well.
Right.
Yeah, they should definitely get at least a nod for the costume, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, that's been fucking great. getting back to that Mass Weenie episode for a second. One thing that's been a pet peeve of mine, but I didn't mind it in this episode, was music that doesn't coincide with the period piece.
Okay.
But in that episode, I loved it.
Yes.
I loved it. I mean, I like doo-wop anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the use of the doo-wop. Like, I actually downloaded like three of the songs after the episode was up. I was like, oh shit, I need that. Hold up.
Mm-hmm.
As if iTunes needs more of my money. But, you know, it was like, you're right. That was really a standout. And ultimately, the whole series, I thought it was great. Kirk, how many seasons do you think we've got here?
You know what? Possibly two more seasons, if not three.
Two, possibly three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we still got, you know, spoilers for those who didn't read the book or anything.
Mm.
They have you have one where, you know, where a part of the storyline is like a subplot. It's a Shadow hiding out in a town that is run by a kobold, like a little goblin.
Okay.
And there's a sub-story about what this kobold has been doing with his time in this village, and why this village is so perfect. And that's a crazy, because I didn't even see that coming.
Okay.
That literally, like, because you're into the gods and they're at war and what's going on. That was a great, like, oh shit, I didn't even see that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Then of course you have the reveal of the war itself, and that, you know, it's like I said, I don't want to spoil it, but this is the thing you keep in the back of your mind, is that we're dealing with, there's literally three gods. We've been introduced to three gods this the first season that are gods of trickery.
Okay.
Right? We got Mr. Wednesday, the god of wisdom. He's a Norse god. He's a king of gods. He's also known to be a trickster.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Loki Lysmith. He's supposed to be the god of Loki.
Right.
Then you have Mr. Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
God of stories. So, you know, and so your three of your main god characters are trickster gods. There's something more going on than just the war.
Yeah.
Right? And I can't help but say, we're just given the distraction of something else that's really going on. And, you know, it's a beautiful fucking reveal when they finally get to, the series finale.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so, I can't wait to see how that works out.
Yeah.
And they might even, shit, dude, if it goes really well, they might even just keep it going in terms of, you know, American Gods, Nancy Boys.
Yes.
Because the Nancy Boys, which is the follow-up to American Gods, actually deals with the two sons of Mr. Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes place in London, in England.
Mm.
And it's really, it's fun as fuck. It's just really a fun read.
Okay.
That's a fun read. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the way they just expanded into even Bilquis's story, which is not part of the original novel.
Mm-hmm.
They really gave you, like, I love that they showed us 1979 Tehran.
Yes.
No one ever thinks about, you know, disco ain't just an American thing.
Yeah,
these motherfuckers discoing in Greece, in Britain, in Tehran, Iran, you know, before it went crazy.
Well,
there was people, you know, disco wasn't just an American thing.
Right.
And so that was just a wonderful just motif of imagery to see that. And yeah, I'm just, I'm still looking for all those names that Odin started to spit out. He was letting it all go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to know my name?
Yeah.
So that's, and I found it too. Right? All the names here, if you want here. It's a lot.
He did rattle off a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Glad of War, Raider, Third, One Eye, Highest, Grimnir, man, Votan. You know, he let it all out, and that was I would say that was a great fucking finale to the season finale. To the first season.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nicely done. Real nice. But I'm remiss, and I almost forgot this. So another person we should toast up to real quick. Octavia Butler.
Yes.
Octavia Butler, yes.
One of the pioneers in
science fiction.
One of the few who, you know, as a black woman, you know, paving the way for folks like us. So, big ups, Octavia.
Octavia.
Birthday.
June 22nd. she, when did she, passed away?
A couple years, like, maybe 2-3 years ago?
It was like 3 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, what was that?
Recently? Is that recently? Yeah. In Seattle.
Did she think fell? So.
Yes.
She fell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody was surprised at that, too, because she was like, she was always described as a sturdy woman.
And I read The Fledgling a long time ago, and I was careful not to borrow from it when I wrote my stuff.
Right.
But, you know, I it was one of the things I had to do.
Right.
You know. You know, it's great that she was there, because it's like, for me, it's like, you know, when you start, when you're young and you start liking this stuff, and, you know, like I've said in interviews and whatever, you know, you're in a situation where you love horror, you love science fiction, you don't necessarily feel like it loves you back.
Right.
You know, and you go through all of that. And then, and Octavia Butler comes along. And she makes it personal. You know? Just like James Baldwin will make shit personal.
Right.
You know? you know, so, and so that's really the main reason why I just wanted to bring her up real quick. Because, you know, without people like that, you know, coming out and saying, you know what, I'm gonna do this shit,
right?
You know, then, you know, you don't have footsteps to follow.
We're not. You know, it's interesting. We a lot of what got us into what we're into wasn't by African American hands necessarily.
No,
you know, we watched a lot of. You know, from me, the day I realized I truly wanted to be involved in horror was after seeing Dwayne Jones in Night of Living Dead.
Okay.
Because that was the first time one of us made it through. I mean, I'd seen other zombie films or other horror films, but for whatever reason, seeing that made me realize I could do this. You know, that we are a legitimate character in a story, that the focus can be on us, and it's not a caricature, it's not someone who is, you know, I'm just there because I'm black. You know, that role, I mean, it's interesting when I hear the story behind why he got the role, which was George Romero saying he was the only one in the group who was one of the best actors he had.
Nice.
And that's why he got the role, not because, you know, I mean, maybe
diversity.
Maybe subconsciously, because it was done in the 60s.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, maybe subconsciously he was like, you know, it would kind of be nice to see this.
But the idea that it was, you were the best.
But you were the best at what you do.
Right. And that, I think that is what we all really want.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. It's like saying, you know what, we're giving this to you because you actually are the best.
Yeah.
Not for no other reason.
Right.
And that, I think, at least as a writer, as a creative person, there's a feeling there of real, you know, knowing I'm getting this because it's the best.
Right.
I mean, not saying that diversity is a bad thing. I'm not making that judgment at all. But still, just as a writer,
yeah.
You know, when they look at your pros, they're not looking at your pros as a black person.
Exactly.
Or they're looking at it because it's great, it's good.
Told a really good story.
You just told a fucking great story. And
yeah.
and somebody saw that and appreciated that.
Yeah.
You know what? We should actually give that up. Give a little to, don't know who the names are, but that first person who published her work.
Yes.
The first
yes.
person said Octavia Butler's work was good enough.
With that.
I like what she did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting that shit on print.
I'm with that.
To that person.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Thank you for that.
We get fucked up. Just kidding.
Grimnar. Odin. The Longshank with one up.
Drunk ass.
Prostate.
Wow.
Tickle me elbow.
Yes. That is the name of one god.
I bet you that is a. You know what? If they go past five seasons, they might have to do that.
There it is.
It's like, which god are all the children worshiping? Hey, everybody!
Exactly.
You know, it's
like, exactly.
Oh, man, we got to fight Elmo? Fuck!
Too much cuteness.
Oh, I'm so afraid. So, like, the god of prostate's a dude with a glove and a finger just sticking in the air. Hey! How you feeling?
The glove.
Violated.
The glove gets things done.
The glove
gets
things done.
No!
Glove gets
done. Oh. Wow. So, switching gears.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yes.
I thought we'd talk about The Mummy for a second because we haven't seen it.
We tried, right?
And when we say we tried, we kind of text messaged back and forth and laughed.
Yeah. I just stayed home watching Black Panther teaser over and over again. Really,
right?
That's what I
do. If you do that enough times, that will
like
take
movie,
2 hours.
Like a movie,
it will take 2 hours.
The awesome scenes and the dialogue, which was a little bit, but it was great.
But you know what's messed up? The Mummy might actually be a good movie. It's just
really.
I'm saying maybe. I don't know. I didn't see the motherfucker. It's
yeah. It looks wonderful.
you know, but no. He's
for
got
$15.
He's got a point because every so often there's something that pops up during the summer that none of us go see, and then months later you see it on cable and you go, "Damn, that was actually."
I'm not saying that.
I know 1 year that was The Hangover.
I'm not, yes. I'm not disagreeing with you.
1 year that was The Hangover.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't go see The Hangover, and then they watched that shit on cable, and they were like, oh, shit.
Well,
then they were laughing their asses off.
You know, $15, $13 for a movie, it's no longer worth the risk. It's not even an adventure anymore. It's like, you know, it might be good. It's like $13. You know, I can do $13 now. As opposed to watching on cable.
Well, I know what you can't do with $13. Plenty.
What?
I'm saying $13 isn't that much money anymore.
No, it's not. But you can probably get a meal at Burger King or...
Here's the interesting thing, because we always say this.
Mm.
It's like, I'm not spending $13 or $15. I'm going to just wait to see it on cable. Would I pay for cable? Have the crap that comes on that thing. isn't worth what I'm paying.
You know,
for me to
sit around and wait—that's
facts.
And facts. Yeah.
So you'd be mad twice. You paid to watch The Mummy. See, that shit sucks. See that shit on cable again. Like, fuck, it still sucks.
But how many nights have you turned on Netflix and sat there for 10 minutes looking for something decent to watch? But you just flip the dudes out and
you are strumming my pain.
And you're just
with
like
your fingers and singing
like,
my life
like,
with the words right now.
That sounds dirty.
It does, right?
That sounded so.
Now we're back to the prostate examination.
So intimate right now. Was that $13? That was worth $13?
Well, it was worth $9.99. But anyway.
Mark got strumming fingers, baby.
There it is. The other night, I happened to now that I'm got Amazon Prime, now I'm beginning, like, I can find some of the older horror films that are not elsewhere,
sure,
and just sit back and like click on something and from 1983, and within 5 minutes go, now I know why I didn't watch this or rent it when it was out. in the rental store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But one night I literally 10 minutes going through Netflix just trying to find something that, and then when I find something that I'm like, oh wow, this sounds like it's a great film.
Right.
It's a foreign film. It's 10 o'clock at night. I really don't feel like sitting there reading.
Oh yeah.
And not saying that, yeah. You know, I don't want, like, I have to be awake and in a mood.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the horror or sci-fi that I get from a foreign market is really good.
Yeah.
But
you gotta be awake.
Like, you gotta be awake.
Yeah.
Could you fall asleep?
Read subtitles.
You miss that shit.
You miss a subtitle. It's not like going back and catching.
No.
You know, I pick up from here. You miss, you know, what Amy said. You gotta go back.
Yeah,
and
right.
Go, wait a minute, I gotta read it.
That shit is fast, too. It's right by.
Oh, yeah.
And to be honest, what I like to do sometimes is I'll take something, a horror movie that I've actually seen, and I'll just have it on, kind of like as background noise while I'm taking care of something else.
Yeah.
And then I can just look back, watch Monster Kill Somebody, go back to what I'm doing, and you know, like that.
Right.
You can't do that with a damn foreign film.
No, you can't.
And it's, whether you've seen it before or not, because you can't follow it.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I feel your pain on all that. You need, like, a nice pot of Cafe Bustelo.
Yeah.
If you're trying to commit to one of those.
Dudes, I got it. You know, we watched The Mummy, like, in a different language. Maybe better. I want to watch The Mummy in Portuguese.
Something wrong with him. You think I want to sit through a Tom Cruise movie in Portuguese?
Hey, am I gonna sit through? I mean, you know.
What about Swahili?
There you go.
Anyway,
Wakanda.
Nice.
Oh yeah.
I think they speak English though.
Yeah, Dora Milaje is all English.
Yeah. Trust me, I don't think the Black Panther movie is gonna be all in subtitles.
No.
That would be.
That'd be angry.
Well, that would definitely. That's probably what. Just had a thought. That's what. What's the young lady's name? The director, DuVernay.
Ava DuVernay.
Ava DuVernay. That's probably what she wanted to do.
Oh right, but that's
in a native language. Like, oh, you want to have a superhero from Africa?
Well, you know, if they'd have gotten Mel Gibson to do it.
Oh right.
Yo, I like Apocalypse.
Apocalypto's great.
That was awesome.
Apocalypto's great.
Yeah.
He's crazy as fuck, but Apocalypto is great.
That was a brutal film.
Yes.
That was
yeah. That's almost Saw level.
When they got into his jungle,
he's
like, I know this terrain, so come on. I'm like,
pop that dude with that stone club.
Yes.
That's Mel at his finest, I think.
Oh, yeah. He probably wasn't drinking or anything when he was directing that. No doubt.
Funny enough, he's talking about doing a The Resurrection. He did The Passion of the Christ.
He did The Passion of the Christ.
So he wants to do now
He wants the sequel.
The sequel.
basically.
The story you don't know about.
Well, the one that when Jesus Christ resurrected from the cave,
right.
When he dragged his ass out the cave.
Right.
I know about that.
Yeah.
From American Gods. You're talking about American Gods.
Mm-hmm. With the mini, with the A-side.
Nice.
The A-side.
With the A-side, yeah.
But Easter dragged him out.
Easter
is that what happened?
Yeah, Easter dragged his ass out of the cave.
I wonder if that's how it's going to be in the movie.
I hope so. I'd watch it. Or Mr. Nancy out there telling stories.
Let me
tell you something.
Chrissy Chatter with line one.
Once upon a time, there was a nigga in a cave.
Oh, shit.
See, here we go. Here we go.
Feet of clay and all.
I can't take y'all nowhere.
The moral of the story is,
and you didn't. So
keep that rock in front of the cave.
Cause rocks get shit done.
Where are we?
We are. Yes.
When is Easter?
It passed. Easter was like in April. What the fuck? I know you don't have no kids, but goddamn.
Rabbits.
I'm saying.
She passes by me like, niggas eating jelly beans. All the time.
There it is.
So, speaking of getting shit done.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Bill Cosby got himself a mistrial.
Wow.
Hey.
Ah.
He did that shit too. He actually did that shit too. He did that shit. I saw the videotape.
I can't believe
he came out. I saw the videotape. He came out of the courthouse going, hey. I said, motherfucker.
I'm going home today.
Oh man. Yeah, that's
a mistrial.
A mistrial
for you.
But I mean, let's be honest. He doesn't, and I'm not saying that he wasn't wrong. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say what's right, what's wrong, you know, but regardless of what happens in court, this is it. Like, the stigma of this will be with him until he dies.
Yeah.
There's no coming back.
Which shouldn't be too long.
There is no coming back. He's 79.
Yeah.
And under a great deal of stress.
Right.
So, yeah, it won't be long. And there's no coming back from this.
No.
Whether it's guilt, whether it's innocence, you know,
his name is ruined.
It's completely.
Like his legacy is
like
ruined.
They're arguing over whether or not to air episodes of The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like what happened to Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's... You know what gets me with this whole thing?
Mm.
Is that... Whether he did it or he didn't,
mm-hmm.
The fact that we get to a point where you have to damn near have your foot in the grave before somebody has to come after you for some shit that you did to them. Mm. I mean, that's the thing that just continuously rocks me to the core, that you were that powerful at some point where this shit just went on for as long as it did.
Right.
And now you damn near broke. You can't see.
Right.
You got one foot going to glory, and now people are like part of me is like, I really wish this had happened to you at the height of your career. Because at this point, what's going to be left when all is said and done, it's despicable.
Mm-hmm.
It's despicable, and it's deplorable. And the thing is this. I mean, really, you had to do this?
Right.
Like, you really felt that...
this was necessary.
It was necessary to do the things that you did.
Right.
With all of the things at your fingertips. Like, hell, just get a prostitute if you need it. If you really needed to go that far. Mm-hmm. You can go in another country and just live and
do all
the debauchery that you wanted to.
You can go DR and wild the fuck out.
But you decided...
that was so scary.
I'm just saying.
But yeah. I have no words for it. Because it's just, to me, it's just, it's disgusting that you put people in a, and this is in general.
Yeah.
It's disgusting that you put people in a position where they felt they couldn't get justice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you're at an age where even if we get justice now, what good has any of this, what has come out of this?
Exactly.
It's literally like, oh, well, eventually you'll get caught. I mean, for the victims, I hope there's a semblance of solace.
Mm.
Hope somewhere inside of you, you feel vindicated over this matter.
Mm-hmm.
For him, I don't know. I mean, like you said, now, you know, the Cosby shows were pulled off the air at some point.
Which
now,
ultimately
now,
hurts the other people.
Yeah, which hurts everybody who
was working with
you.
The Cosby show more than him.
Because everybody gets something from that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, yeah. And not just that, but he had another Cosby show on CBS.
The CBS thing with,
with Dougie Doug.
Dougie Doug.
I know, yeah. isn't that called?
But that wasn't up for syndication.
Even think that's been out for syndication.
No, I don't think that was out long enough.
It might have been stopped.
But
it was on Netflix. It was actually on Netflix for a while. I used to watch it, actually. That's sad.
I thought that was canceled and he was going to launch something else.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then
this came out.
That got, and then of course there was the talk of the fact that he was getting ready to buy a network.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, and we've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
The African American community needs a network.
Yeah.
And not just BET, not just TV1, an entity.
Or Bounce.
An entity that is independent of any kind of outside control.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, it's impossible to have something that would be on the level of Warner Brothers or something like that coming out of the gate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, I mean, I think we've talked about this before, how, you know, there have been plenty of times where we would have had a studio. And the thing that sticks in my mind, of course, is always... the thing that is in Prior Convictions, Richard Pryor's autobiography,
right.
Talks about
yes.
how he and Jim Brown of football and Dirty Dozen fame were supposed to start a studio, and Rich, for lack of a better way of explaining it, kind of snipped it off.
Which just seems strange that he, you know, I understand, yeah, cocaine's a hell of a drug. What else is going on, though, that, you know, you don't just snort all the money up from a dude when your partner's a dude that can break you still. You know what I mean? Because Jim Brown was still a big cat.
Well, yeah. Jim, I'm shaking hands with Jim Brown.
Right.
It's like shaking hands with God.
See what I mean? He's like...
The only person I think had a stronger handshake that I've experienced is Ali.
Right. Yeah, Jim Brown is like Jim Brown is the original
Luke Cage. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
And you're going to snort all his money up.
Sure did.
What is going on that you did that? There's something else that we're not hearing. I don't know.
Well...
You know what I mean? Because that's... Yeah. Yes, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Right.
But shit, dude.
Well, you gotta remember also, Rich died relatively young, and contracted Parkinson's disease relatively young.
Right.
Now, I've actually had this debate with people in the pharmaceutical industry because, and in a bar, just having a conversation about Richard Pryor, and then someone who worked in the pharmaceutical industry overheard me. It was like, no, and waving the fingers. And I'm like, first of all, who are you?
Right.
And, you know, how are you going to talk to me about Richard Pryor, you know? But
you're like the coolest cat, Steve. You arguments with niggas in bars and pharmaceutical motherfuckers. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. But, yes.
I lead a charmed life. But the point is,
yeah,
is I believe that his cocaine use exacerbated that whole situation.
Okay.
Now, I think the reason that the person from the pharmaceutical industry was trying to argue me down was simply because they didn't want, you know, they don't want people thinking that cocaine causes Parkinson's disease, because down the road, when they're out in their little lab somewhere fucking with it after they made it legal, like they're trying to make marijuana legal in certain places, yet and still be able to arrest a black dude for being in Washington Square Park with a and that's what's happening. That's what's happening, because on the local level, you have marijuana being legal,
yeah,
but then on the federal level, it's still a felony.
It's still a felony, yeah.
You know, so I'm pretty sure there are plans to do the same thing with cocaine. Again, I'm starting to sound like conspiracy theory, nigga, but but I mean, just looking at what's already in play,
yeah,
you know, they don't want people thinking drugs are, they don't want people thinking their drugs are bad.
Right, okay.
So, marijuana being legal, you know, the guy that's got his marijuana business, he still wants you to think things are cool.
Yeah.
Now, the problem, of course, is that Washington is, in general, they're not getting enough of their cut.
Right.
You want to keep it real. The big issue is that, you know, on the local level, everybody's cool. Everybody's trying to keep it real or whatever. But on the federal level, they're not getting that cut.
And it's because of the federal guidelines.
Well, it's also because brown people control, that's where marijuana, you know, they control the, exactly, they control the distribution of coke and marijuana.
Yeah.
So there's no, you know, there's nothing for our friends in Washington to benefit from.
Right.
You know, which is why the shit was vilified in the first place, yet and still, you can turn on TV in the middle of the night, and there's a commercial, and there's a list of symptoms as long as your fucking arm.
For the new, yes.
You know, it's okay to sell that shit,
right?
But you can't smoke some weed.
Nausea.
Yeah.
Vomiting. Diarrhea. Anal leakage.
Yeah, anal fucking leakage.
Anal leakage.
They got that. That's a symptom for some shit they put in potato chips.
Right.
Now.
Yeah. Word.
How about that? Olestra or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Potato chips. Yeah, because you're trying to lose weight, but you still want to eat potato chips. So you go lose some weight.
Then your ass gonna leak.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that makes fucking sense.
Look, wait. I waited for the one symptom that you grow a third eye in your knee. That's
what I'm sure that's that total recall.
Yeah,
right,
well, that's what you start wearing shorts all the time.
Well, yeah.
taking this will make your ability to call cats over. a whole lot. Cats!
Shit, y'all fed Kodo will be able to catch a cat then.
Oh, why? Y'all fed Kodo, y'all for president.
But unfortunately, it also causes allergies.
Right.
Right, yeah.
So, it's like just circling back. That's one of our biggest problems. The fact that the African American community does not have image control.
No.
And literally, in order to get anything jumped off, you gotta like practically guarantee that there's gonna be somebody.
Yes.
A la a Black Panther.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You gotta guarantee
that gets, you know, I don't care what you say, and Stan Lee is a wonderful, wonderful man,
mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm,
but he doesn't go to the movie studio and sell Black Panther out of the gate.
No. You couldn't. No.
You look at all that shit you got to do first. Iron Man, Thor. And Thor only, and let's keep it real, Thor only holds weight because of the current technology.
Yeah.
You try to make that Thor movie.
No,
like back they, in the 90s,
like, wait, like they did the on the Hulk.
Yes, the Hulk, the Thor.
Oh yeah,
the Hulk,
yeah.
Thor.
The when drunk frat boy.
The Thor had that like that Wookiee vest.
Right,
he had a vest like Wookiee.
Like he killed Bigfoot.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bigfoot shirt and the Hermes helmet.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Man. Like the
He's
FTG.
Supposed to be Thor.
The FTG Forest.
He's supposed to be Man.
He's supposed to be Thor.
Mm-hmm. Word.
Yeah. And Thor is fun. It's not is it the greatest movie ever made? Fuck no. But it's fun.
But it's a necessary evil.
And it's a building block.
Yeah.
Of that whole thing.
The whole idea of the different world and different universe.
Right, so then when you're sitting there watching the Avengers movie, you feel like you know some shit. You got a peek under the hood or whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you said, I think one of you the other week was like, Guardians of the Galaxy, out of fucking nowhere.
Yes, that was me.
Yeah.
You know? Out of nowhere. And the thing is, and I'm wondering, and yes, that and still being saying, I still want to say, you know what? I still want to give a little soul clap for the Thor movies.
Sure.
Because as you said, like a template, we got to see how this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do it with these guys
mm-hmm.
and build it from there. Because after Thor, you know, the different world, then you go into Captain America and it's still on Earth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you go into, you know, you get Guardians of the Galaxy with a totally different kind of universe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that looked gorgeous.
Yeah.
Right? And then now you got Thor, and they picking that shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. And Black Panther, you had to do Wakanda right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think the technology, not, you know, and the image, technology and the idea of what you can do with the technology and how far you can go creatively with the technology helped a lot with the Black Panther and setting an environment, what they created digitally.
I actually saw a thing on Black Panther, all the Easter eggs,
within
the trailer,
mm-hmm.
and just because again, you know, a lot of times you see these Easter eggs, it's stuff because you weren't paying attention in the films prior to.
Because
I forgot the guy in the trailer that they've got locked up.
Claw.
Yes, was the one who sold the vibranium
to Ultron.
Yes.
Yep.
I completely forgot about that. I forgot that. I didn't even notice that even on when he was talking to him. On the map that he had, Wakanda is on there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these little things. So they've been gearing up to get to that point. You know, and then, you know, we'll get that movie, we'll knock it out of the park, and then we'll keep moving. And, you know, Luke Cage will join the Defenders this fall.
Yeah.
So we'll have that coming. But...
And I will say... I'm glad that Marvel is handling most of its black characters with a certain amount of
gravitas,
respect, whatever you want to call it. I do also want to point out that it is also a good business decision on their part, because you know what? If they don't handle their characters that they have put some effort into over these past few decades, if they don't handle them properly, they... run the risk of having dudes like us coming up talking about, well, you can't really rely on Marvel and DC, but you can rely on us.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Right.
And let's not fail to recognize that.
No. You're right. And I wonder sometimes about, you know, we do talk about owning our own, like, you know, distribution, marketing, you know, filmmaking entity.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if we're being remiss when we don't think about the possibilities, or even if it actually does exist, those out in the continent of Africa itself.
Mm.
I mean, because, you know, you have a lot of the cast from Black Panther are actually from,
right?
You know, Lupita Lupita Nyong'o from Kenya, mm-hmm. Danai Gurira from Tanzania, family from Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
You have Florence Kasumba, who's part of family from Uganda, I believe.
Right.
If not Rwanda. and Isaac Debakwele, I think, who also is coming out of Cameroon. Mm-hmm. And that was the brother with the green suit and the lip plate.
Yeah.
Got it.
And, you know, so I'm and like I said, I just wonder about that sometimes.
Because
you have a lot of, and Letitia Wright coming out of Barbados.
Mm.
That's right.
By way of England, you know. Going to, you know, so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I just wonder sometimes about, we put so much emphasis on the America and not really, and missing that there might be something actually going on the continent. They just need to kick their shit up. Like, Nollywood's already a big deal. They just need to have their production better. They need better production capital. That's really comes down to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? But they already got production and distribution down.
They do.
And marketing, right? And volume. And volume. So they have quantity, quality is a question.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's all I'm saying. But yeah, we need some shit, dude.
Yeah. We need some control.
Oh, you know it. What? Like, they got together, like, Bounce One came.
Well, the shit ain't Voltron,
Bounce One. I'm just saying. The same dudes own Bounce, and the same dude owns One, and be like, you know what? Make some good shit.
Yeah.
Let's get together, like, Viacom, and just, you know, create Voltron shit. Bounce One, and we get BT. Bounce One, BE.
I don't know.
Bounce One,
BE. I think, sad to say, I think you're getting too many egos involved.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. That is the other thing.
Well, that should have stopped. It ain't stopped Richard Pryor from, you know, scoring up Luke Cage's shit. That ego alone would have stopped me. I would have went straight from that one.
And that's what we don't want. All right. We're just a little over an hour, so we're going to close it out. I do want to say, real quick, just want to recognize while we were talking about Bill Cosby and all that. The flip side of that, of course, is that the Philando Castile shooting, that verdict to not sentence that officer.
Convict that bastard.
That happened also. I think I speak for all of us when I say that's very regrettable, and our hearts go out to the Castillo family.
Yes.
And it's an unnerving time. It is a very unnerving time. So much so that my cat is knocking shit around in the apartment, but what the hell was that? Anyway, no, I just want to say that, we had that one episode where the three of us were, like, losing our minds because Trump got elected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To me, that verdict, it just kind of solidifies everything we were saying that night, that this is a different time, possibly a scary time, and we need to all start giving some serious thought to, what we're doing, you know, how we're voting, you know, where our priorities are laying as a community. And that's, you know, that's basically where I am with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not to end the show on a somber note, but yeah, that kind of seems like what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, as much as we love our horror, our science fiction, and our superheroes, we gotta also recognize the fact that we're three middle-aged black dudes living in some shit.
Yeah, scary shit.
Yeah. But folks, we do want to thank you for hanging out with us while we polish off this bottle of wine and a couple of burgers and basically hanging out here in the Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans Emporium.
Yes!
And that is what
beautiful
I'm going to
downtown. And pick
picturesque Crown Heights.
Picturesque Crown Heights.
See, I knew if I kept saying it, they would fucking get on board.
Oh my God, it's Hawaii Castle.
Well, you're the one that eats it.
That shit is good.
If you say so.
I got a Luke Cage stomach.
Yeah, you must. Shit. I've been here 11 years and I have stepped foot in there twice. Once to get you.
My man.
But anyway, so that's cool, it. Steve. Shut up. That's it for tonight. Thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate you. We love you all. Big ups to our folks in the Netherlands and jolly old England. Dungeon Radio, One Essence Radio. We out.
Peace.